As we prepare to think about the ministry of the church, I thought it would be good to see what Paul has to say here about his own Christian ministry, the ministry that he refers to as this ministry in chapter 4, verse 1. And if we were to look back into chapter 3, we would see that this ministry is the ministry of the new covenant, in contrast to the ministry of the old covenant, the ministry of Moses. It's the ministry of the Spirit, not of the letter. It's the ministry that gives life, as opposed to the ministry that kills. It's the ministry that gives righteousness, as opposed to the ministry that condemns. It is the ministry that secures our freedom and our transformation, as opposed to the ministry that leaves our hearts veiled, shrouded in darkness. Just looking down to chapter 4, verse 5, it is, in short, the ministry of preaching Jesus Christ as Lord. And this ministry, I want to suggest to you, is our ministry. It is the proper ministry of the church. It's the ministry in which we all share, insofar as we preach Christ or speak the message, the gospel message concerning Christ. It's this ministry, Paul has argued in chapter 3, that has a surpassing glory. The ministry of Moses was glorious. You could see it in his face, that it was actually shining with a light as he came away from the presence of the Lord to speak to the people. But this ministry, Paul's ministry, our ministry, Paul says, has an even greater glory. But wherein lies the glory of this ministry? Well, it lies quite simply in this, that this ministry is the very means by which God causes his own glory to shine into the lives of individuals to illuminate blind minds and darkened hearts. In verse 3, Paul says that there are some, in fact there are many, who just don't get it. Those for whom the gospel message remains forever a veiled message. They just don't see its glory. They don't see its truth. They don't see its saving power. In fact, they probably think it's ridiculous, offensive, irrelevant. In verse 4, Paul explains why. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. There is a God at work, Satan, a false God, whose work is to blind minds, to darken understanding, to plunge men and women and children into utter spiritual darkness. Paul describes here the condition of all unbelievers, our condition before we came to know Christ. And in this state of darkness, the state of blindness, the darkness of our hearts and minds was very great indeed. The gospel is light. In the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the very image of the invisible God, shines forth, but we're blind and we don't see it. We can be brought out into the most brilliant light, and it seems like darkness to us. We may even have railed against the light and called it darkness. And yet, for the great many of us here, there came a time, it may have been in a sudden flash, or it may have been a slow dawn, but, verse 6, God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We beheld the glory of God. We saw it in the face of Christ. The glory of the God who loved us and gave himself for us on the cross. His arms outstretched, we beheld the love and the majesty. We beheld the justice and the mercy. We beheld the grace and the glory, the holiness, the wisdom and the power of Almighty God displayed in what had seemed like the folly and the weakness of Christ crucified. and in the light of an empty tomb, we beheld the glory of God in the resurrection of Christ and in the resurrection life offered to us. And when this happened, says Paul, whether it was a sudden flash or whether it was a slow dawn, it was like an act of new creation. It was an act comparable to the beginning of time. It was an act comparable to that cosmic moment of creation recorded in Genesis 1 when God said, "Let there be light." And just as the all-pervading darkness was dispelled at creation's dawn, so the darkness of our hearts and minds was dispelled by the very light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And what was the instrument of this new creation event? It was the preaching of Christ. This is why Paul's concern is not to preach himself, but to preach Jesus Christ as Lord. The instrument of this moment of new creation is the preaching of Christ. It was as we heard the message that we saw Christ, that with the eyes of faith we had a sight of Christ for the first time, and his light flooded in to illuminate our lives. And this is the glory of this ministry. This ministry that we have by the mercy of God, so unfit for it, so unqualified for it, except by the mercy of God. This is the ministry that we have, to shine forth the light that we have received ourselves by preaching forth Christ, speaking of Christ. And so, here is the glory of the things that concern us today. To the perishing, these things look foolish, weak, irrelevant. At best, a waste of time. At worst, a dangerous deception. They would think us mad, crazy fools to gather here at a place like this and consider these things on a Saturday morning when there are so many other better things, they would say, to be doing. But insofar as we are concerned with proclaiming Christ, then we know that we are concerned with the very means, in fact, the sole instrument by which the glory of God comes to illuminate the darkened hearts and minds of men, women, and children. And so says Paul in verse 1. We do not lose heart. We do not lose motivation. We do not give up. We do not shrink back into inactivity or laziness. For this ministry is glorious beyond comparison. And this is the heart of all that concerns us today and tomorrow. This is the transcendent truth that makes the ministry that concerns us this weekend the greatest ministry of all. So let's make sure that this perspective governs our thinking, governs our discussion, governs our priorities, governs our perspectives, governs our attitude, governs our thoughts, governs our actions in all that we do together.